Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Geek Lounge. I am your host, Luis Latour.
And I am Adam Smasher.
And I am Miss Harm.
All right.
It's not as good as the first time. Remember the first time we were just like,
oh, yeah, it was slick. Yeah,
we got it.
That's okay. That's good.
It's working. It's growing pains. It's all right.
What's going on?
Nothing. What's going on with you, buddy?
How you doing?
How's everybody's week?
My unproductive as usual. Yeah. But let's. Well, what about you? Was yours productive?
I guess.
You guess.
The 30 days of Godzilla is over. I've watched them all.
Oh, right.
Finally. Yeah.
Did you watch the last two?
Yeah.
Not the last two. God, I keep saying the last two. Did you watch the Gareth Edwards and the Roland Emmerich?
Yes. Ugh. Not Roland Emmerich. I told you I was skipping that one.
Oh, okay.
Gareth Edwards, yes.
Well, then why did you skip Gareth Edwards? Explain to people why.
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I only saw it in theaters once and it pissed me off, so I had to get another chance.
And upon further inspection?
It's exactly the same feeling.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it made me feel exactly the same. It's too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts away from Godzilla at the worst moments.
Yeah.
The Bryan Cranston part, while strong,
mm-hmm.
turned out to be unnecessary completely.
Sure.
Because, like I think we said last week, or I said last week, you had 2 hours of human drama. Like, why? It was just unnecessary in that movie, in the context of that movie. You just didn't care about his son enough. You know, I would have been okay if he lived and it was kind of a thing with him. It would have been better, I think.
I want to make a giant monster movie where
the
monster attack, like the entire monster fight and everything is all background and secondary. The entire movie basically focuses on people.
That is familiar. It's called Cloverfield and it sucked.
You know what? That's right. That is right.
You're welcome.
I knew that seemed familiar.
I knew I was J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, whatever. How about you?
Well, I'm caught up on Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes!
Delightful. Yeah. Nonstop delightful rainbows and happiness with that show, right?
Really?
Well, this last season.
That's not the one I remember.
This last season
exactly,
ended pretty, on a high note. It ended on a high note. This last season.
It was oddly optimistic this season.
What?
I think the only bad thing was that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Everybody dies.
I was about to say, like, spoiler alert or something.
Are you going to watch it?
Yes.
Are you going to watch it?
Yes. I just don't know when.
Oh, you son of a...
When you have time.
I'll put it right behind Utena, Formula 51, Cowboy Bebop, which I am now free to watch all of those things.
Uh-huh.
And Ghost in the Shell, which I did watch. That was one of the movies on the list that I couldn't remember last
week. And you didn't fall
week.
Asleep?
I did finish it and not fall asleep, correct.
And I don't mean that like it's a bad movie. It's a great movie, but I remember you told me you were kind of...
It's a really good movie. I wouldn't say it's a great movie. And... kind of my sentiment about it has not changed.
Sure.
Like, when I watched it years ago, I'm like, just when Ghost in the Shell started to really get going, it was over. And I felt that way again. Like, just when it really started getting good, it was over. Mm. I guess that's a good thing.
We talked about that because it's like the first part of the
manga. Yes, we did talk
about
that last
night. So it's meant to go on, and you're supposed to watch.
Yeah.
Or read
I did like it, though. I did like it a lot more than I remembered, but...
Mm. So I remember you telling me you fell asleep. Not because it's bad.
Oh, at first, yeah.
Because when we get home from what we do, it's like
We get up so early.
And then you get home and you just kind of want to decompress, and part of that is possibly falling asleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which happens to me. I think Tuesday or Wednesday, I fell asleep like around 6.
I don't know, last couple
like
nights.
Like an old person.
Last couple nights I've been inspired. I actually watched a lot of stuff. Finished up Godzilla and finished up Ghost in the Shell, all that stuff.
Can't tell you the first time I saw Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
It's a weird story. It's not really so much about when I watched it, but rather how I got the movie.
It doesn't involve baby whale like your other story, does it?
Never mind then.
No, go on.
No. So I had this, I knew this guy and he would watch anime. And this was back when we had VHSs and the VHSs were, do you remember when the VHSs were like, $25 for like an anime VHS, and
this is 1990 prices. By the way. That was expensive.
Yeah. It's like $150 for a set of 10 huge
VHS tapes.
VHS tapes.
Yeah, and
so much plastic.
If it was a series, it would have like 2 episodes of tape.
Yeah,
but sometimes they would put out those movies, and Ghost in the Shell is one of them. So I had this friend who would.
It's Akira.
He would borrow the actual movie from a person who bought the movies, and then of course he would record it on a new.
He was a bootlegger.
He sure was. And then I asked him if I could borrow it, and he's like, "Yeah, sure, yeah, I'll get it to you." It was like a drug deal. That's how weird it was. That's we were in high school when this happened, by the way. So he was like, meet me in the bathroom. I'm like, you just gave me to me at lunch. He's like, no. There's too many eyes. Meet me in the bathroom, like during like fourth period or something. I was like, oh, okay. So I go out there and I meet him in the bathroom, and he's at a urinal pee. And I'm like, hey man, you got the tape? And he goes, yeah, hold on. And he's got it tucked into his waistband of his pants.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this, you gross bastard?
Put it in your waistband of your pants. Yeah, and
that, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I had to put it in the, but I put it like in the back, like a gun. Like in the back of the waistband of my pants, and I had to run back to class. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So there you go, parents. And illegal drugs in our schools isn't the problem. It's bootlegged VHS tapes.
It's bootleg anime.
Bootleg anime.
And I had
like Toho's right around the corner, and somebody's gonna jump out and go, gotcha.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Well, even still, like, I make it a point not to buy bootlegs unless it's something I can't get in the U.S.
Well, that's the thing, is
it has never been released.
I wasn't buying it; I was borrowing it.
Oh, you're so only borrowing it.
So I had to give it back.
Oh, jeez!
But he made a big deal when I gave it back to him. I was, because it was like at the beginning of the day. Man. Yeah, I was like, yeah, here's your tape, man.
What, are you crazy?
So many eyes out here, man. Like, he freaked out for real. I was like, dude, be cool.
He sounds like he might have had some other problem going on, bro. At the time.
Well, he's only one step ahead of the law.
Yeah. Yeah. The FBI's on my trail.
You're right, because he was a good dude, but he was a pothead too, so that probably didn't help him any.
The paranoia particle of that.
Don't go straight the shell out.
Too many eyes, bro.
It's an unmarked tape, bro.
That's funny. That's way funny.
Someone could have seen you. That's the first time I'd seen the movie, though.
Wow.
Entirely.
Box for a different movie. Problem solved.
I'm sure if I'd have said that, he'd have been like,
you're brilliant.
What? Why did I think of that?
No, you can't do that. I'll get all mixed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put it in this VHS copy of Anne of Green Gables.
Darby will give them the little people. Nobody will care about that.
Just don't bring it to school anymore.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What'd you do this week?
I love that story.
What's anything else going on?
Well, I started Jessica Jones.
Oh, nice. Finally.
I've been putting it off, and it's blowing my mind.
So good.
I'm
just
like, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. Yes. I did like that a lot. You liked it.
I saw when it premiered.
I regret not watching it when it premiered. I was very like, whatever.
No one will ever know.
Yeah, it's like...
You can tell. Well, they will now, but you could just tell them like, oh yeah, I saw it.
Well, because I figured Daredevil was so good, and I'm like, yeah, it's just not gonna... Yeah, and it was just like, oh,
yeah,
wow,
I needed some time between Daredevil and...
I actually thought it was better than Daredevil.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Objectively, it's more intense. Better written or something. Not even better written. Like, I like the writing in both.
Well, I know I said this before. I don't know if I said it on the show, but to me, Jessica Jones does what DC Cinematic Universe thinks they're doing.
Yeah.
They're actually correctly exploring the dark side of superpowers. So I liked it.
That reminds me.
Dark and more adult side of superpowers. Not exclusive.
I was surfing around YouTube, and I rewatched the cinematic trailer for Suicide Squad.
I'm sorry. That was awesome.
No.
Listen.
I'm sorry.
It's the trailer looks. It makes it kind of cool. I think it's probably going to be the only cool thing about that movie.
The trailer.
Yeah, because it was on with the Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody playing.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of cool. But the one thing I did notice was how many times they had to mention that these people were bad guys. Which I think is going to be one of those recurring themes in the movie that they're just going to keep saying, like, we're bad guys. They're bad guys. We're bad guys.
They're bad people.
Yeah, and I'm like, if you can pick up context clues, or if you couldn't tell from the first part of the trailer when she says, oh, yeah, they're bad guys. They're the worst of the worst. And you're just like, I wonder if they're bad guys, because they kind of seem like they're bad guys.
Yeah.
If you're still ambiguous as to what they are, you're an idiot. And I think that's what that part was made for idiots.
It's for the little kids. Movie companies were like, we need to make it really clear that these are not role models because children are going to do stupid things based on our movie.
I think
we're already doing stupid things over a stupid phone game.
Yeah.
Which I like, but it's stupid.
I think that people who make movies think we're all dumb.
Oh, Probably because we keep proving them right. So,
yeah, that's true.
I think there's
population here.
I think there's like they have a boardroom meeting and they're just like, watch me put this crap out. It's going to make so much money. And it does.
Yep.
I just brought up IMDb because I want to see if it's getting an R rating.
Sure.
Which there's no info on that. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at it and it says movie quotes.
What?
Harley Quinn.
Can we put that on a shirt?
Really? Really? Hey, IMDb? What? That's what? What? Right, right there.
What?
I'm going to screen cap that and probably put it up on the freaking Facebook.
You want it on a shirt?
What?
I want it on a shirt. I want to say what? And then Harley Quinn, Suicide Squad, 2016.
And it should be in cursive or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's
got to look
motivational
fancy.
Motivational thing.
It does say PG-13. It does say.
Oh, okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that might be.
What?
I'm a cynic now.
It's such
movies.
I don't know.
Really?
It looks like it could have been like really great, and then I don't know, just the more you watch it, you're just like, well, shit. Because I
was a fan of the old Suicide Squad and just sure. I don't know, I just don't care.
I think I know who they're going to kill just based on the trailer.
Most of them, if not all of them, should die. That's kind of the point of the Suicide Squad.
Right, but I think I know who they're going to kill for sure.
Oh, it's those guys you don't know the names of the actors. Those are the ones they're going to kill.
Well, that's one
so
of my
Will
theory.
Smith's character's not going to die. Harley Quinn's character's not going to die.
So Will Smith is in this?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. Oh, my God. He plays Deadshot.
I'm sorry.
I have two theories on who's going to die. One of them
fits because I believe both are actually massive blowhards. Deadshot and Will Smith.
What? we'll see.
Yeah.
I had two theories on who's going to die. And one of them was the two guys who you don't know who the hell they are.
Yeah.
Simply because the people in Hollywood don't understand Suicide Squad and the fact that part of the intrigue was that these were characters that you knew and they were going to go... Done.
Yeah. They were, you knew who they were, but they were also really.
It was always a surprise.
They weren't second bananas.
Yeah.
They weren't even third bananas. They were like 75th zucchinis. Like, that was a weird analogy, I know, but they were just somebody that they were like bad Superman, Batman villains who lasted one or two issues.
Right.
And they were memorable. Go ahead.
My second theory was Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
Because in the trailer, they make him seem like he's like that.
The leader?
Weird. No, he's like the weirdo fun character that you're going to. I like that guy. That guy's funny. He makes me laugh. Ooh. Dead.
Dead.
By the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
Captain Boomerang, dead by the end of the movie. Luis 2016. Luis Latore 2016.
There you go.
That's your first motion as president.
Yeah. I invented the what shirt. I don't know if you're aware of that.
What?
Exactly.
2016. Yeah.
Harley Quinn 2016.
What?
We're bad guys. Suicide Squad 2016.
Yeah. We're bad people. Yeah. So, you said that like every. It's probably going to be like.
I think they say it in the trailer like.
Warner Brothers is going to do that in the movie. Like, you have to say you're bad people every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like Amanda Waller says, or like she's having dinner. One of the generals goes, these are bad guys. And then Amanda Waller goes, the worst of the worst. Okay. So I'm going to gather from this that they're bad. And then somewhere along the trailer, Harley Quinn goes, we're bad guys. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think they even have to say it.
Yeah.
They're coming out of jail to do stuff. These are bad guys.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They're bad guys.
Again, this is Hollywood thinks we're stupid.
While I'm bummed, like, the original incarnation of Amanda Waller did not make it into the film, which, if you don't know, in the original comic book, she was a very large Black woman.
Overweight.
Yeah.
Black woman.
But she was physically imposing, and that was kind of the point. The fact that they got Alfred Woodard is awesome, because I love her, and she's really good, and she can pull off that sort of intimidation. So.
Sure.
She was the only person that sort of intimidated Picard back in one of the Next Generation movies. So.
So wait.
Wait, who?
What?
Are they bad guys?
I think they might be.
I don't know.
Guys,
I did see them come out of jail, and they said it like 14 times.
But I'm just
they
not
might be bad
sure.
Guys.
I'm just not sure, though. Yeah. I can't put my finger.
I need some physical evidence, not just
context clues.
We're not going to get that. We're not going to get that.
People are.
We're not going to be showing any of their crimes, except for possibly Harlequin, because there's that.
I think these dum-dums don't understand that these people are bad, so we got to keep saying it in the movie.
Yeah.
Bad.
Except for Harley, because they had to add Ben Affleck is Batman in there, so they have that scene or whatever when she gets captured, supposedly. That's what I heard.
Meh.
What do you mean?
Meh.
Like, what do you
like, she's
about?
The only one they're going to show doing anything, like, actually bad before the movie gets rolling. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, her and Joker. I think the whole scene where they're, like, in some car.
Yeah.
He looks awful, by the way.
He
looks terrible. Awful. He might be a good Joker.
I don't care.
Portrayal-wise, he just looks terrible.
Yeah. As little as I care about some new movies coming out.
Sure.
I care less about that one. Ugh.
Even less so than Batman Superman?
No. Not as little as Batman.
What about Man
Superman.
Of Steel?
I was actually excited to see that until I saw it. Until I saw it and reflected on it, and
I was so bad.
Realized what the hell just happened. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to open up that can of worms. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, we don't want to go down that road.
Yeah,
it's a dark, dark place.
So, Suicide Squad, are they bad guys? 2016.
Yeah, and before we take a break. Of course, we went to the bar like we do every Friday night, and an amazing thing happened, right? Our whole table,
mm-hmm.
they gave out tickets because they were having like a summer party or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Every single one of us at the table won something.
What?
Every single one of us.
It was
to
fun.
To be fair, there
it
weren't was like that fun. Many people in the bar, but...
And this gentleman right here won a barbecue.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gonna use it.
Really, really soon. We all won something, yeah.
We have 9 prizes, and there are 7 of you. Yeah. So,
and
that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, kind
of.
Well,
there was four
of us, and there was 5 tickets, but all 5 tickets won, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all 5 tickets won.
Yeah, we had no tickets.
We had an extra ticket. Yeah,
should have gone. That should have been one of those days that I went.
One extra prize per person, so you could have gotten the Bud Light
T-shirt. Yeah.
What?
Oh my God!
I
could have had a shirt
and a hat
with the name
of a
company.
Actually nice, honestly.
With the name of a beer company that I never drink because it tastes awful.
Oh, I do too. But the hat is actually like a nice. I like it. It fits good. Mm-hmm. I should have worn it today, except for it says Bud Light. So this morning I was already actively looking for a patch that's going to cover that.
God.
But they're nice hats. Yeah.
What'd you guys win? Just hats?
I won the hat. You won.
I won a couple shirts and another hat. And
a
I just
couple
gave mine
of shirts.
To him.
Couple
yeah,
of shirts.
I got the tank top that said Bud Light on it. And I actually really like the
Our semi-silent beer buddy, Darren, actually won like a $50 or
$25
gift card to Applebee's.
Applebee's.
So it was good. Yeah.
He was happy with that.
Where he can only purchase Bud Light products.
No, because I get Newcastle there.
Just beer.
It's just beer.
It's just beer, folks.
No. I'm saying that's all he can buy with that gift card is Bud Light products.
Yeah. It was cool though.
And I won this shirt with the name of the bar on it. So
that was actually a nice shirt, though. Yeah,
I like this.
That was a nice shirt.
Yeah. I'm a frequent visitor of this place.
Well, what's funny is like that bar. It is like a chain bar, but that bar, and even like the parties they do, it's always the same two gals, and it's. Just it doesn't feel like a chain bar at all.
It's like all regulars. It's way fun. We recognize people every time.
It's
we
Las
go.
Vegas Cheers.
It's very
kind
of
yeah.
That's kinda. How I always think of it.
Because a lot of them you go to because it is a chain, and I'm not going to mention the chain, but a lot of them you go to feel like chain bars, but that one doesn't.
Sure.
And it's a small one too, and it's right next to a Don Tor Taco, which has gotten good again. The quality's gotten better again.
Let's make Don Tor Taco great again, everybody.
It was good. It's good times. Good times.
That's cool. You guys got hats and shirts. I want hats and shirts.
You guys ready for a break before we get into our topic of the day?
Yeah.
Cool.
Are we bad guys?
I don't think I'm a bad guy, but most people don't think they're bad guys.
I didn't come out of jail and nobody said I was a bad guy. I was a bad guy, but I feel like I might be.
If we're gonna be brutally honest, Hitler thought he was a good guy.
You don't have to.
I'm not saying I'm a good guy. I wasn't said as a bad guy either.
Okay.
You know, Pol Pot thought he was a good guy.
That's true. He thought he was doing the right thing. That's right. So Donald Trump thinks he's a good guy.
Hey, I'm a good guy.
I watch all the shows. I'm a good guy.
I'm good for America.
That's a great. How do you know about all the stuff in the Middle East? I watch all the shows. Isn't that what it was?
It was something about the military. Yeah.
Oh,
I watch all the shows. Jeez. All right, join us when we come back. We're going to talk. What are we going to talk about? Star Trek, since it comes out this week.
Oh, there's another movie.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about that movie particularly. We're just going to talk about what Star Trek
we've just saved you from a half hour. Just
apparently.
Me just freaking out.
Just venom and vitriol, the whole thing. Anyway, come on back.
I must have been out of under a rock.
It's a little scary when you see the sign. You picture it hairy and white, mean inside your mind.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Smasher here with Remington Thunderfist.
Yeah.
Erica Harm. And our guest host, Gio.
Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe.
I apologize, Mr. Joe. Don't hurt me, Mr. Joe. Mr. Who is Joe. Also one of our house artists. He does all the vectoring for us. He's our vector guy.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Joe. I am Remington Thunderfist.
Greetings.
Greetings from Earth, freaking alien.
What?
What?
How come I can't have a cool stage name? Why do I have to be boring old Luis Latore? And why can't I be Remington Thunderfist?
Okay, then let me say it in English. Maybe it won't sound so boring. Yeah. Luis the Tower. That's right, better, that isn't it? So
I feel like as someone who speaks Spanish, I should have realized that first.
Fine. Elgato. I guess I'll go back.
That was good. Yeah. Man, cool. Star Trek. We're going to talk about Star Trek because a new movie comes out really quick. I did pick up a magazine today. It was a special Newsweek edition, Star Trek 50 Years, and it has a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say, like I told you earlier, I was going to buy that for you as like a surprise. It's only like $10 or something.
It is kind of pricey. I haven't bought a magazine in a long time.
You know, I'm what the kids call a baller, so I don't have to worry about prices like that. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I'll get him this. And then as I reached for it, I was like, no, he's kind of finicky though. Like it looks cool. Cause it's got old school, it's got a Kirk and Spock on it.
Yep. It does.
But,
on the back, it has new Kirk and Spock.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm going to buy it for you. You're going to be like, oh, cool. And then you're going to come back and be like, that's stupid. It's dumb. So I used it as toilet paper.
Wow. I ended up picking it up on my own, but, it has a lot of old stuff in it. It does, of course, plug the new movie, but
I think that's the main reason for it.
Yeah, but I figured it was we'll get the low stuff out of the way first. I figured, you know, they're trying to inspire older Star Trek fans like us or me to feel good about the franchise, so maybe sure. We'll go see the new movie.
Actually, that's what I was about to say. This magazine, if you think about it, is kind of genius because it's for the people who watch the new movie.
Yep.
It's for you guys who were fans of the old show. And part of that is also like, well, okay, you bought the magazine. Maybe we can convince you to go to the movie, too. If not, you already bought the magazine. So
anyway. Yeah, I already paid almost a ticket price.
Yeah, we pretty much got what we wanted out of you.
A little bit of double dipping.
Well, I just want to quickly read the blurb of Star Trek Into Darkness, and I will not let myself get sucked into a...
What?
Spock. So he says.
Yeah. Star Trek Into Darkness 2013. On a mission to stop a one-man weapon of unstoppable destruction, Kirk leads the crew to an embattled world and uncovers a Federation conspiracy. Did they watch the movie? Because that's not what it's about.
Sure.
I just want to put that out there.
Is that what the movie's about?
Khan's not the bad guy in that film at all.
Is it from Into Darkness or is it from
Into Darkness?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Khan's not even the bad guy in that movie.
I think that's why they said that they were fighting what they thought was a war, and then they uncovered a bigger plot.
Yeah.
Which was the Buckaroo Banzai made a bigger enterprise.
A bigger enterprise, yeah. Yeah. I just love the scene where he yells, Khan! Like, Khan didn't do that to you. Or what did one article I read said, Robo-Admiral did that to you.
That's right, because he was also a RoboCop.
All right, so Star Trek, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. And I know a lot of people are huge Voyager fans, huge Next Generation fans. What does it mean to you? Who would like to start that? I mean... I don't know if you want to jump right in, Joe. It's your first time.
My first time.
What does it mean?
I grew up with it, so that was something I looked forward to as a kid. Yeah. And couldn't get enough of it, because back then there was nothing.
Yeah.
It was a wasteland.
It was a wasteland.
It was great.
Shows like that impress me, because when they come from this sort of time period where they don't... It's almost like they're kind of telling the future with a lot of the stuff that they're talking about. A lot of the issues that they deal with, it's like, I didn't think that they thought about this kind of stuff way back when.
Yeah. Even though by the time Star Trek came out, there was numerous classic science fiction novels. It just didn't, they didn't hit that form of media yet. But
right.
What about you, Erica? What is?
Well, I grew up not on the old series, although I later saw it, and I love it. It's great. It's all good. No series sucks in my mind.
Cool.
Mm. But I grew up on Enterprise.
What about Star Trek?
On Enterprise?
Colon Suck Force.
Next Generation.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, Enterprise is the one.
That was the last one?
That's actually the one I have not seen.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's Jean-Luc Picard. And
you grew up on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. What does it mean to you? I mean, what is it? Was it just that?
It meant really neat problem solving and
the great unknown, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the greater good of people. And we should be there. We need to aspire to that.
Yeah.
That's how we should be as people.
But we have hoverboards and emojis and selfie sticks. I mean,
Pokemon
Go.
This is the future. Hey, don't badmouth Pokemon Go.
I am not.
We're getting there, but we need to get further.
This is the future. Enjoy it.
Well, apparently in Star Trek,
it's part of the future. Yeah, sure. Guys.
Star Trek's not denying that.
Yes. Keep going.
Star Trek's on timeline. We have a nuclear war ahead of us in the next 20 years or so.
Oh, God.
It's going to devastate the planet. But
what they don't say was it started by Kim Kardashian.
No.
We need
to. Although, then again, we've already been ruled by the augments of which Khan was a part of. That didn't happen, thankfully, that we know of. Or did it?
Are they bad guys?
Or? Well, the augments, I guess, the original augments, the original Khan and some of his cronies. I guess the whole idea was like they were sort of designed to be better than us.
Mm-hmm.
But the byproduct of that is that sort of supreme arrogance and belief that they just were better than us sort of came with that.
But are they bad guys?
Yeah, in the classical sense, yeah. Yeah, because they wanted to rule. They felt they were the best suited for it.
They would do anything.
But they were also, they tended to be a bit sadistic and things like that, too. Mm. Everything was heightened. The idea behind it was everything was heightened with them. Sure. It wasn't just their intellect, everything. So
yay, bad guys.
Yay, bad guys.
Okay.
They were bad guys. I said that.
I mean, I want to make sure. I'm dumb. I just want to make sure.
Oh,
that's what I'm asking. Are they missed bad guys?
I missed the joke.
That's why God, I kind of scoffed earlier. I'm like,
what are you talking about? Yes, they're bad guys.
Erica, we could have kept this going for 10 minutes.
I get it now.
Yeah. Man, we could have gone back and forth, apparently. We didn't. We decided not to.
It's like a terrible
you.
Who's on first.
Yeah, it was.
But aren't they bad guys?
A really terrible.
Well, the old show was such a part of my childhood. It's just, like you, Joe, it was every
great.
Day. It was every day too. And you could catch any reruns and some of them were better than others and it was syndicated. And I would know when it, I would watch them all though. I'd watch them all. And then I remember in like 1982, 81 or 82, maybe 83, I actually went to a convention here in town back before comic conventions were just this whole big thing.
Yeah.
And it was a comic book and science fiction convention. And the gal from the episode of the Game Masters or Shish Skellion, The one gal that was on the planet with the weird silver sort of bikini that fought that Kirk ended up kissing and then I think punching.
I thought she was a local.
She may be because she was at that con. And I tell you what, I was a teenager at that point.
Awesome.
Oh,
and she looked exactly the same. And I was just like,
because there was a nice comic book store with a picture of her without her top.
Well, then
it was a big thing and I didn't buy it. To kick myself.
That would make sense if she's a local because she did do that con. She was like the only one, but it was. And I remember like I was afraid to like go up to her like, I want my pitch taken, but I was like 13 or something. But
she was a beauty.
And she looked exactly the same. And that was at that point. That was probably like 15 years later. But wow, I was like wow. I was like 13. I was like
That was a good episode too.
So it was cool. But, it was such a part of my childhood, and then, I don't know what else to say. It was just good stuff. I mean, it's good.
That's great.
I know, it's good. It's good. What about you, Luis? You haven't said anything.
Here was the thing with Star Trek when I was a kid, was it was something I had to learn to appreciate a lot later on in life. When I was, I think the show that was on was Next Gen, when I was a young lad. And
same as Erica, because you guys are relatively the same age.
We're exactly the same.
What? Really?
Same age,
Anyway,
give or take 6 months.
Yeah, Joe and I are TOS guys, and you guys are TNG guys.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't think I was an anything guy because I didn't watch it. I didn't really appreciate it until a lot later
Nerd.
On. Nerd. I was a nerd. I remember as a kid, like I would see, like people would tell me it was this great show. People my age would tell me that it was like this great show, and I would try to watch it. And I'm like, there's so much talking. They have lasers. When are they going to use the lasers?
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, and it took me a while before I could actually appreciate what it was.
Yeah,
you know. My husband wasn't really into Star Trek, and one of his problems with it was like, you know, it's the future. Why don't they have really big guns and ordnance and stuff like that? I'm
like, I think that was the point.
They don't have laser swords? That's so dumb.
Yeah, kind of. And then I finally got him to watch a few. Like, I showed him Space Seed.
Oh, okay.
The Origin of Khan. The original and then Khan, I showed him Wrath of Khan, and his cute little mind was blown. He was like, this is Star Trek? I'm like, yeah.
At its best.
Yes,
he's
and
like,
no.
I had no idea. Yeah. It was that good. Yeah. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
I like the original series better. I just, like, again, those ideas that people, that I never thought people thought about back then. It kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of that stuff is stuff that we're dealing with now, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think one of the big things I appreciated about the show, believe it or not, was it was a realistic portrayal of sort of, it wasn't just science fiction. It was also sort of like, well, I guess this is still technically science fiction, but it was life in space. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Starfleet and the ships and the uniforms, it was all a real working organization mm-hmm. and its own culture with rules.
Sure.
Structure.
And that appealed to me, which I think newer movies, and I'm not even talking about Star Trek, I think just newer movies in general seem to abandon a lot.
Right.
Like they don't care about that internal structure, and I don't, those internal rules of the made universe, I don't get that. Like the old show and the old shows and even the old movies, they really clung to that, and I thought that really went a long way to make it realistic or feel real anyway.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Yeah.
Because that was part of the intrigue.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
And then the whole, I appreciated that, I guess. It made it seem like people were actually out there doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always liked that part of it. And the Next Generation came out and we were all like, oh my God. Because I was a teenager, I think, when that came out. I think I just graduated high school, actually, when that show started.
Wow.
I was delivering pizza right before I joined the Army. And I never could watch it because I was always working, and I would deliver to people's houses. And I remember almost everybody had that show on, like, every week.
That show was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
And then it got weird.
Yeah.
And it got weird.
Yeah, I have a weird personal feeling about Next Generation, which at first I was like, eh. And then I remember watching it and then liking it a lot. And then I didn't see it for years. And then I remember I watched it a few years ago, and I was like, what? which kind of bummed me out because I found a lot of it not particularly watchable.
You say that it had an expiration date? Because I have gone back and watched it, and I'm like, some of this stuff just feels like way out of date.
Well, and then maybe it's not just me, because that's what I felt like. And some episodes were still very good, but then other episodes I was like, ooh.
But I don't ever remember saying that about the original series.
Yeah.
When I watched the original series.
Yeah. Well, it was already dated when you watched it.
Which I only watched one time through.
Blasphemy.
I have to watch it again.
Yeah. There's some just amazing episodes. So even in Next Generation, there's amazing episodes.
Yeah.
Voyager was hit and miss, but still just some amazing episodes.
Oh, I didn't watch anything after
TNG. I liked Voyager.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see it.
You never saw Voyager?
No.
Kate Mulgrew, right?
Yeah, I thought she was awesome, actually. Yeah. It was awesome. She was awesome, and she was no nonsense. She didn't take crap.
Like, at all. No crap.
She didn't take no crap. She was awesome. And, DS9, yeah. But I know a lot of people like it. I just never got into it.
Sure.
But, you know.
Honestly, with Deep Space Nine, since it's a stationary,
station,
not a ship,
it's a gas station.
It's a gas station.
It's a gas station in space. Yeah,
gas station. I like that.
But there would always
an AM/PM out in space. Shop at Quark's where you can get two cheeseburgers for $1.
Quark's.
That's right.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of pulling it at a truck stop, at a pilot station.
Get a 40.
Yeah.
A couple 40 cans.
And honestly, the best DS9 episode I thought was, I want to say it was like one of the very first episodes aired, and that was, I think it was called Tosk. And that was the lizard dude who was running from people. And they like they're trying to help him, and he's like, "No, you're disgracing my whole lineage. This is what we do. We run until they catch us, yeah. And the longer you run, the more glory you bring to your people, or whatever." And it was what? Awesome.
But
yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
That's one of the things I liked about it was that there were all these different cultures and weird aliens and just going through this place.
Yep,
it was a melting pot.
Peaceable ways to appease one guy's culture and the other guy's culture, and
yeah,
like it was. Creative problem solving.
Yeah. You know,
getting it the prime directive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Making it fit.
Well, and even the old show was really good about that. Yeah. You know, like the whole, what was the one episode where I can't remember the name now, but they beam down to the planet and they're talking to the guys, and the guys are all peaceful and cool and they're all chill out.
Sure.
They're talking to the Federation guys, and then they're like, oh, we're under a missile attack. Oh. And like everything closes up, and I think Kirk or somebody talks to the Enterprise and they're like, there's no missiles in the air. What are they talking about? You know? And they're like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we've been hit. You got to die. We all have to die. We all have to go. Cause we've been registered as casualties. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it was a whole idea. Familiar. It was one of those against the prime directive episodes, but it's like, if you're going to pretend war, either come to a peaceful solution or go to war. Like, you're just going to kill people because the computer says, oh, we have these casualties. But the neat thing about it is the people that were in that culture, it was so ingrained. Like, that's how their lives
were.
Like,
oh, we're dead.
Yeah, and it was just...
Computer says we're dead.
It was interesting stuff.
Yeah. And they go to their assigned little places to get it, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go to their own little disintegration chambers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's going, man, don't go.
And I remember when I was a kid, like Patterns of Force, the one with the Nazi planet.
Oh,
that's a good one. As a kid, yeah, I liked it, but I always thought it was stupid, like Planet of Nazis. That's silly. How could that even exist? But then when I'm older and you watch it, you're like, that's actually really clever the way that happened. Yeah. And the John Gill, who actually implemented the whole Nazism over their culture, it made sense. It didn't make sense when I was a kid.
No, that's stupid. Everyone knows that Nazis aren't on a planet or on the moon or whatever. They're underground with the lizard people. They formed an alliance. And
that's another episode. I think that's the Omega Glory.
But are they bad guys?
Yeah.
Are the Nazis bad guys?
Yeah. Hey, you know,
are the Nazi lizard people bad guys?
Well, and I think
probably.
That's, and I did watch some Enterprise. Do you watch any of the Enterprise at all? Joe or
I don't
Luis?
Remember.
No, I did not.
You've never watched
I didn't watch anything after TNG.
Yeah.
Like I think I actually started watching TNG and then I watched the original series and then I didn't watch anything else.
Voyager I did give up on because it got way too Borg centric.
Sure.
And I was like, yeah, whatever.
But the one with Jerry Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of that either.
Yeah. But Enterprise it was really hit or miss. I think oddly enough, near the end of the run of the show, it did get a lot better.
Mm.
But I think by that time it was, because I know they changed like showrunners or whatever, and I think it was Manny Cotto or Cotto that took over showrunner. And the show actually did. I didn't watch every single episode, but I watched a few of them because when they were on Netflix a couple years ago, and it did get a lot better near the end. But it was kind of too late. The early episodes really focused on the whole, you know, time travel, time temporal war. And it's just like, like, did not interest me. And it just seemed like they were trying to outdo earlier stuff. But
a time war didn't interest you?
Yeah.
They're always having time wars on Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know. The trouble with, that's the trouble with any time travel episode is you can really overdo those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, occasionally they're really clever and interesting and good. But when you start doing them, when you start having a time travel episode every season, you're like, okay, enough.
Right.
Because it doesn't work.
Monkeys.
It breaks down, yeah. Yeah, it starts to break down. I don't think you can maintain that kind of goofiness unless you do it in a clever way where, you know, like it's the whole butterfly effect where things just keep changing no matter how you keep messing with them. Things just get even more effed up. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the theoretical.
You're not talking about the awesome movie with Ashton Kutcher. Kutcher.
Actually, it was an okay movie. That's okay. What it was.
I'm not a fan.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of his,
there
but
were
I liked
a couple
the movie.
Of inconsistencies.
Isn't
pushing my
always.
Glasses up on my nose right now.
Yeah, there you go.
But
and that's,
can we just talk about Butterfly
right.
Effect now?
And that's all we got for Star Trek until, well, they did allow during that time, which was 2000, I think, they did, Paramount apparently gave a bunch of money to Robert Wise, to finish Star Trek the Motion Picture, which was the 1978, 79 one.
78, I think.
And he, you know, using CG because the movie... I'm not going to bore you with the details, but the movie was unfinished. Like, Paramount pretty much said, no, we got to get this in theaters in like 3 weeks and stop production. It wasn't even done. The effects weren't done. A lot of the story wasn't done. So they used CGI to go back and kind of fix a lot of that. And it was really good, but it's never been released on Blu-ray. So it's never in a high definition format. It's really grainy, even the CGI stuff. But yeah. It is a much better film.
I do have that. I have that movie on, but I only have it on DVD. Yeah. I don't have it on Blu-ray.
If it's the director's edition, it's not a director's cut. It's director's edition. It's only available on Blu-ray. Uh-huh. I mean, on DVD. DVD.
I'll take a look at that again.
So, and you saw the theatrical one recently, right?
Yeah.
It's a bit laborious, I guess.
There's long gazing abstract stuff. Yeah. Honestly, at the time, I was like, this is nice because things would be happening and I'm like, oh, I'm stressed out. What's going to happen next? And then it would be like, look at this peaceful scene through space.
So it's
like,
I
have a little break in between.
Yeah. And then we got
bookends.
We got nothing until they started remastering the old show on Blu-ray. Well, DVD at first. And that's when they started CGIing the effects. Now
the Enterprise looked a lot nicer.
Well, at first, if you're thinking like Star Wars and Lucas, you're thinking like, why would they do that to a classic TV show? But it turns out
it's awesome.
That turned out to be an amazing thing.
Very effective.
They did not overdo it at all, and it turned out to be amazing.
Yeah. It wasn't New Hope.
No.
Tatooine CGI.
No.
It was.
Very functional.
Yeah, I don't know how you.
The second movie, Empire Strikes Back, Bespin.
Yes,
CGI.
Most people don't even understand that.
Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back had a bunch of CGI stuff because it was done right. Because Lucas didn't direct it, and he actually respected the guy that did. So he didn't. He only sort of made things better. He didn't add a bunch of needless crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like that. I think that was you're trying to say.
He
right?
did yeah. his job. Right.
I don't know why I blanked on Empire. I was like,
Yeah, weird.
It happens. I'm old now.
I think we watched that recently.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Yeah.
Because I think you.
And there were times where I was like, I don't remember that, but I'm not offended.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you invited me over because you wanted to watch it, and we were like, we're gonna watch the original because it's not special edition. I'm like, no, honestly, that's one you should watch the special edition of. And it
my turned, husband and I had just seen the first one.
That's right.
And it had
that's
all right. this goofy garbage in it.
Yes.
I'm like, this doesn't make it better.
No, it didn't. Yeah, but it turns out that, but Star Trek.
It's worth a watch.
Yeah, yep. The remastered old show. If you're not a fan, it's the beauty of it is if you buy it on Blu-ray, you get both versions, so.
There you go.
And it's absolutely worth it. It's absolutely worth it. And then, of course, we get Star Trek 2009.
The J.J. Abrams suite.
And, that's it for me. I'm not going to talk anymore at risk of going on a tirade.
You saw it, right?
Yes.
You did see it. Okay.
I did. Actually, the first one wasn't horrible. It just wasn't very good.
I saw it, and I was okay with it because I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
But there were some, I think that there were some Trekkies behind me.
Yeah.
And I heard them say that they loved it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They were like, oh, yeah, he got it.
I really liked it, honestly.
I mean,
see, I didn't at all.
I thought it was just all right. I don't think it was great.
I was kind of thinking, oh, maybe they'll do something really cool going forward. And I don't know, reimagining stuff. It's not the same thing. They'll never be the same thing to me, but it's something different.
Well, that's
I'll give it a chance.
And honestly, 2009 Star Trek did leave me feeling that way. Like, okay, maybe they can go off in a good direction. I didn't like it, but I was optimistic.
Yeah, I was optimistic.
Now let's talk about your favorite movie, Star Trek.
I wanted to finish one little anecdote on Star Trek 2009 first.
Sure.
I don't think they got Kirk at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they portrayed Kirk as an adrenaline junkie. And that's absolutely backwards. You know, Kirk was a gambler. He was a risk taker, but he wasn't an adrenaline junkie.
Why can't New Kirk be an adrenaline junkie?
Well, the idea about him captaining a starship, it sort of goes against those two things. It's like counterintuitive. Like,
sure.
He's going to put his ship and himself at risk so he can feel high.
Didn't he do that in the movie?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
It's pretty bad.
Sure.
That, and he was like 22.
At least they were consistent.
Yeah. Well, I get the whole idea. Like, the original Kirk, William Shatner's character, was 35 when he became captain, and he was the youngest captain in Starfleet. So I get that. But somehow, in J.J. Abrams' version, that translated into like 22. Like,
what? 22. Was he 22?
Yeah. Something like, he was right out of the academy. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was, I didn't like that. But anyway, so you were introducing what?
Your favorite movie, which is Star Trek Into Darkness.
Into Darkness, yeah. I'm not gonna. Who wants to go first?
I don't have an opinion yet because I haven't seen it. All I know is Khan isn't actually the
you lucky person.
A thing, really?
That's it.
He's kind of a footnote, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I like Khan.
Yeah, I still love Khan.
Sad.
I just, I don't know. How can I?
It was disappointing.
What do you want to say about it? Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, I saw it and I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah.
I didn't trash talk it like you did, but I was just like, eh.
Yeah. Without going into detail, I really did not.
Again,
like
this is a series that doesn't mean as much to me as it does to the rest of you. But
well, I think the big thing was it was full of scenes that were designed to you know, I guess affect you emotionally.
Sure,
but there was no emotional connection with those characters. I'm not talking about the old stuff. With those characters in particular, for you to feel that way. Right. And so that bothered me. But the second part of it, which we joked about earlier, was the fact that some of those scenes didn't even make sense. You know, there's a whole part, spoiler alert, where Kirk dies.
Uh-huh.
And friggin', you know, Spock finds him and he yells, Khan! Khan wasn't even responsible. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, it just didn't even make sense. You know, that's what bothered me. And then the whole idea of, you know, two things they did. Now, granted, all movies take creative liberties with certain concepts and aspects that can change sort of the reality they lived in. But this movie seemed to do two that were so huge. One of them being they beamed to like from Earth to planet to the Klingon homeworld because of some algorithm that Scotty came up with.
Right.
And the other one was the fact that Khan blood brought Kirk back to life. Like that would fundamentally change everything about that universe.
Right.
Like, Star Trek Beyond, first of all, they don't need a starship anymore. And second of all, if somebody dies, just give them a little whatever Khan's got.
I have a feeling that this third movie is just going to gloss over all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not even going to mention it. It's just going to be a footnote. Or like, we still need ships, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what...
It doesn't cure everybody, just Kirk. It doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't bring everybody back.
Honestly, you won't even hear about it. I don't think it'll even...
No, because that's... Stargate.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just...
Starfleet presents Life Juice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then... what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. But yeah, Into Darkness, I just... I know some people loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I just did not like it at all. I thought it was bad. All kinds of bad. But... and you didn't like it, right?
You know, no, I didn't.
And you never saw it?
No. Honestly, my dad is a huge influence on what sci-fi I'll watch.
Yeah.
Because he introduced me to Star Trek.
Oh, very cool.
It's a father-daughter thing. Star Trek.
Very cool.
Hooray. And he didn't like Into Darkness, and he actually really liked the first one that did. So I was like, man, if my dad says skip it, probably going to skip it. Not going to pay for it in the theater.
Yeah.
Good. I wouldn't waste my time.
How about you, Joe? For $3.
Did you watch it all?
I saw it briefly.
You did.
And I got the gist of it, and I said to myself, What the hell?
What the hell's going on here?
But, no.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
What
by Joe?
Harley Quinn. What?
What?
Joe, exactly. Yeah, what?
That's Joe's t-shirt. Yeah, that's the t-shirt. What? Harley Quinn. No, Suicide Squad. Joe.
His is a little longer. And I was like, what? Joe. 26.
And I was like,
that was
what?
It.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and what? I can understand the appeal because... They didn't grow up with it, and this is something that they can latch on to. But for us that's been there, this isn't it.
this
ain't it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, well, how about Star Trek Beyond? Is anyone anxious to see it?
No. No.
I've seen the trailers, and no.
No.
Erica?
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Yeah, I'm a no.
I need to catch up first.
I think what bothered me.
I think the first trailer I saw was the one where they added the Beastie Boys Sabotage to the back, and I was like, in the background, I was like, no.
As much as I love that song, somehow I do not associate the Beastie Boys and Star Trek in any universe. Just saying. Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like a progressive fit? You know, like this is the future, Prime Directive, and all that good stuff. Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Someone somewhere in Hollywood understood young people and nostalgia and was like, Beastie Boys Sabotage. This will get the kids in.
This will get the kids in.
Yeah. Let's look at the young people.
Which Sabotage is now like, what, 18 years old or something?
Yeah. Again, yeah. This, we live in a time where even kids who are younger is like,
oh, yeah, Beastie Boy Sabotage.
I think what bothered me about the marketing for Star Trek Beyond, though, is like a few months ago, you had Chris Pine talking about how a movie like the classic Star Trek can just not be made in today's environment. And you know, he may feel that way, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that it was out there, I personally think that was a thing by Paramount to kind of say,
you're not going to get your old Star Trek nerds. Not gonna,
yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, I already know that.
Honestly, I think that's one of the reasons why they made everybody coming into the show look so young. Like, Kirk, 22.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the demographic they're aiming for wants everybody to just be sexy.
Come on,
all
young
the time.
People, this is your curve.
Have you noticed that trend, though? It seems like again, everybody's copying Lucas,
younger
I think.
Younger.
Yeah, it's like everybody's copying Lucas now. It's like heroes now, they all have to be like these kids that somehow do these amazing things or very young, young people. You can't have like a guy who's, you can't have like the John McClane. You know, 30-something cop that, you know, does her work. It's got to be some kid. Like, I don't get that.
I was born knowing everything. Like, stop it.
Stop it, yeah. Stop it a
Live a little first.
I don't know. No, I'm not, I'm definitely not going to get into this, but I wasn't. The whole Simon Pegg, George Takei thing really sad me on a few levels. I'm just going to leave that right there. I'm not going to get any more of that. But that whole little, I wouldn't call it a feud, but. That whole thing.
That's minor skiff, a little disagreement.
Yeah, I just...
Disagreement.
That whole thing made me sad, and I will say I'm on George Takei's side on that one. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
About that thing?
Well, just about you know, the Beyond, Star Trek Beyond.
I don't know. I feel like it's maybe focusing too much on getting this younger demographic of people.
Yeah.
And it's not really helping anything. It's not really helping to move anything along entertainment wise.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, young people, here's this. And it's all actiony and awesome with like a very thinly veiled story. You don't need story. What do you need story for? There's ships and stuff and they're shooting things.
I know.
And
you'll watch anything that's pretty, right?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
It's shiny.
Which I think even the people watching it must feel insulted a little bit. You know, like, really? That's like, what you think my demographic likes?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, dollars and cents tends to prove that wrong.
I know, but we as a people just throw money at movies we know are going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I forget which movie came out recently.
Well, I know.
Where it was that case.
Yeah, and I understand all those concerns, but I always think, like, what I always try to think is, like, time is really the only judge. And I use that as an example, like John Carpenter's The Thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. When that came out, critics hated it. The common belief was like, no story, very simple plot, blood and guts in your face. Well, obviously, that has changed. The idea behind that movie has changed. And now when you watch it, you realize it's actually a pretty deeply layered film.
Right.
And very character driven. So, you know, sometimes when these movies come out, even like The Force Awakens, I think like is in 10, 15 years, is there going to be a new appreciation for this that we just did not immediately recognize or what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you had Star Wars when that came out in 1977, it was thought of as much deeper. Now we know it not to be particularly deep at all, you know, even though it's still the classic one is still good. But I mean, time's the judge, I think. I mean, who are we to say?
Sure.
I think sometimes critics or even us are unfair. Like another example is like Hardcore Henry, which I have not seen. But, you know, critics generally didn't like it. And I know some people that really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave a lot of great reasons why. And then that also makes me think, like, has sort of that culture of movie critics just become to the point where if it doesn't follow basically what is expected of a Hollywood movie, it's just not considered good? That's not fair. That's not right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that kind of bothers me. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that, I guess. But
awesome.
Well, no, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I
like,
get what you're saying.
Like, sometimes there might be a very interesting film out there. Is it really ever going to get a chance?
It's like in 10 years from now, is Transcendence going to be like the greatest thing that had ever been produced by Hollywood?
Yeah.
Like, here's what you didn't appreciate. Here's 10 things you didn't appreciate about Transcendence.
Yeah, but time will only tell that. And, but unfortunately, the media is so saturated.
Right.
What do you do? I don't know. What do you do about it? Anything? Nothing?
Sometimes I wonder, like, in 200 or 300 years, when there's 200 or 300 years now of movies and music on digital format, like, what's then going to be considered, like, canon, paragons of our art?
That's true. Well, that kind of goes into something we said, I think it was last week, where it was like, you know, you think Gary Cooper, you think High Noon. Well, Gary Cooper did a lot of movies, but High Noon's kind of one of his definitive, you know. You know, same thing with, who was the other actor we were talking about? I don't know. But,
Patrick Swayze?
Yeah, Patrick Swayze. Roadhouse. Well, Patrick Swayze did a lot of movies in the 80s and early 90s, yeah. But that's how history judges us, I guess. Something becomes sort of the, or at least because there's too much out there, we have to sort of focus it.
We're becoming like a weirder version of our parents. Like when they used to tell us that something we liked was like, what are we watching that for?
Oh my God, you're
right. What is that you're watching?
You know,
at some point, we're going to be like, if I had kids, I know I'd probably be like, what's with this selfie stick business? You kids and your selfie. You know, back when I was your age, we had to hold our hand out. That was a selfie stick. Here's my selfie stick right here.
I think
you're
right.
And then I slapped them with it.
I think you're right.
Slap them with my hand.
Your selfie stick.
I always listened to my folks when they said, here's a classic, because they always had great classics to show me, like Wrath of Khan.
Nice, nice. Day of the Earth Sits Still.
I did not have that luxury because my parents are from Mexico. So going to a movie or collecting or liking that kind of stuff is a privilege more than anything else. I mean, you don't just go out and buy it. You don't have the time for that. You don't have the money for that. You need to eat. You need to stay alive. Not that it was like a third world country, but I'm saying that's a luxury.
Yeah, yeah.
Over there to be able to do this stuff.
So, gotcha.
You know, they grow up very pragmatic and very practical.
Yeah, well, that I makes did sense. Not. Yeah, you did not.
I was. I
You're
am
an
not.
American.
I'm an American. Yeah. I don't need it, but I want it. So I'll buy it.
So I'll buy it.
And when I do eat, it's through a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will drive.
What's that Saturday Night Live sketch? If you don't have money for it, don't buy it. But I really want this. No. Well, how about this? I mean, I don't have the money, but I do have a credit card. No. If you don't have it. Is that kind of deal?
Yes, but the opposite for me. I do have a credit card, so use it, right?
That's right.
That's what it's for. It's for me to buy cool stuff and not have to worry about it.
You guys ready for a break?
A break.
I slipped into my twang there.
Mama said life was like a podcast. You never knew when to take a break.
Abraxas.
Abraxas. Can that be my name?
Abraxas Q Thunder Fist.
Yes.
Thunder.
Beef McLarge Huge.
Yes.
I didn't make that up. Yes. That's from the really bad Space Mutiny.
That's beautiful.
MST3K.
Damn it.
That one stuck in my head, and I always
that's
use
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Beef McLarge. What was it?
Beef McLarge Huge.
McLarge Huge.
Yeah, they come up like with like 50 different names for the guy in the red armor.
Nice.
And they're all perfect. Amazing.
Beef McLarge.
That's my favorite.
That is awesome. Welcome back. I am here with Abraxas Thunder Penny or something.
You're going to get my name,
that's
get
even
it right.
Better than what you were going to say.
You're going to say my name, get it right.
All right. Luis Eric and Mr. Joe. Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe.
Mr. Joe.
The cool cat.
All right, we're going to.
Can his name be Mr. Joe? M-I-S-T-A.
Mr. Joe. Mr.
I like it. H. Mr. Joe.
We're going to keep this last segment short because we did go on long.
Sure.
So let's start with a round robin.
I
pick.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I am so sorry.
That's disgusting.
That one snuck up on me.
Oh, God.
I choose Erica to go first.
Erica, I choose you.
To do what now?
Favorite Star Trek movie, favorite Star Trek episode ever.
Oh, well, obviously Wrath of the Khan is my favorite Star Trek movie.
Nice.
Although the close second is the whales one.
Oh, okay, you know. Cool.
Because who doesn't like whales?
You can talk a little bit about them. You know, it doesn't have to be that brief. Like, we don't want it to be that short. But so
I don't know. I know people think that Maltabon is kind of a funny guy. pretty weird, but I think he just looks great as Khan.
Yeah, he does.
People have asked, I was reading people ask him in interviews, like, is that a prosthetic chest? And he's like,
no,
that's, like, no, that's how I am.
That is my real
me. This is all me.
That is my real perfect chest.
And then he would be right.
That is my pecho perfecto.
Yeah. I'm like, I would prefer that over the guy saying Lieutenant Frank Drebin now for my memory of him.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lieutenant he was Frank in the Naked Gun.
Lieutenant Frank. That's right. Yeah, he was in the first one.
Also pretty weird.
Well, he was, when you watch Space Seed, he was jacked.
Yeah.
And he was friggin' in shape back in Space Seed.
See.
He made
puro lean meats.
He made Shatner, who was actually in good shape back in season one, he made Shatner look like a second grade friggin' nobody. Yeah, and he was jacked.
See. I won't steal your lunch money.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about episodes? There's a lot to choose from, too.
I know. I keep waffling between which one I like most.
Yeah.
But Naked Time.
Cool.
It's always fun to watch because everybody does fun, crazy things.
Crazy things.
And then,
so, go ahead. What's the second one?
Going on? You might have to cut some of this out. A hard time because I don't know the names of any of these.
Well, explain what happens. We can figure it out.
I really like the cage.
The pilot.
I mean, the dancing Orion girl. Like that's
That actually haunted my dreams a lot as a teenage boy.
And that started just
that was the cool thing. Yeah.
Upward climb and how much I like aliens.
She was
like,
so
make them cool,
gorgeous too. I mean, the gal that played her.
She's a very well-known...
The gal that played Vina? Yeah. Yeah. Gorgeous.
And she...
Isn't that Yvonne Craig?
No.
No.
No, the original...
Sorry, everybody.
The original Green Woman.
Right. The original Green Woman.
So why was 2000... She was one of them. Or why was Naked Time your favorite episode?
It's a bunch of zany fun happening. You know?
Zany.
Like, one end of the spectrum, there's serious, you know, real political issues that they deal with on the show. And then it's... super happy fun time.
Yeah.
Like there's the spectrum right there.
Well, that's one way, I guess.
And I also like the last episode. I don't know why I like all the episodes where somebody looks like someone else, so they just use the same actor.
Oh, there you go.
Like
Susan Oliver played Vina.
Yeah.
We did find out, yeah. Gorgeous, Susan. Beautiful woman.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So why is Wrath of Khan your favorite movie?
Because...
Is it the first?
Well... It was the first, you know, my dad showed that movie to me when I was a wee little jerk. Substitute word here.
I gotcha.
But it was also interesting to me because I thought it was always kind of dumb at the same time where they're like, oh, we left you on the wrong planet. Oops-a-daisy.
Oops.
And he's like, that was the worst oops-a-daisy in the history of Earth.
Well, they left him on the right
planet.
Hey,
we said our bad.
But it did get destroyed, so they got confused which planet was what. The orbit shifted. So, no, granted. It must have been an out-of-the-way system, to be honest.
Dude, and they didn't check on him.
Yeah.
It would piss anybody off.
Yeah. That's true. Yes.
And one of my favorite things about it is the battle.
Yeah.
The ship battle.
Yes.
You know, like his movement denotes two-dimensional
Two-dimensional thinking.
Right.
And that
he's smart but inexperienced. Yeah.
That reminds me of actually what probably is my favorite Star Trek episode.
One
that's
I know where you're
it's
going.
Like the submarine battle almost.
Yep. Balance of Terror.
Yes.
Awesome episode. Yes.
Just the strategy and how they trick each other. And it's all. Like, they don't really show the outside of the ships in that. It's all on the bridges.
Yep.
And I just thought that was so effective. Very, very efficient.
Heck yeah.
Storytelling.
Good stuff.
You could imagine so much.
How about you, Luis? You want to go second?
Sure.
Movie,
Wrath of Khan, because that is the first one I saw, because that's the one everyone keeps talking about.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was like, well, let's watch that one. Sure.
Yeah.
Episode... I really like the pilot.
Yeah.
The cage.
Yeah.
And Charlie X, because that was just goofy.
Yes.
With the kid with the mind powers.
Yeah.
Those are like the only ones I can think of that really stand out. Again, I watched it a long time ago once. I got to watch it again.
Okay.
But I do remember Charlie X. And I do remember the cage with Pike, who was the
original captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
The yeoman was really good. And
Oh, the yeoman was hot, like, man. The yeoman was like super, I was like super in love with the yeoman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
one. Are you talking about Janice?
I'm mostly talking about
yeah, both gorgeous, of them were good.
But when I first saw the cage, I was like, oh, that little redhead.
Yeah.
She's cute. Well, she's doing it for me.
Yeah, at one point, the Talosians actually took her, his first officer, which was played by Majel Barrett, mm-hmm. which the network made him change, which she was awesome,
she was supposed to be
actually.
The captain, right?
No, she was she was supposed to be the first officer. But that was too bold for NBC. They're like, yeah. CBS, but she was awesome. I think her first originally appeared on NBC.
Oh, okay.
And then they took her, and then Vina, and then the first officer, and then the redheaded yeoman. And they're like, pick one to pick, be your mate.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And that's not how humans work. We don't.
The funny part about that was the ladies didn't put up much of a fight as to, you can't do this. This is the pick one of these.
That's because Jeffrey Hunter was a dreamboat.
Don't pick.
Let's be honest.
Pick me, but don't pick me. You know, super coy.
Yeah.
Pick me. Yeah. Like they never thought about it. Like none of them were like, you can't do this to us. We have free will and blah, blah, blah. They were just like, pick one to be your mate. Yeah, who are you going to pick to be your mate, me or her?
Oh, good. Nah, come on. It wasn't that bad.
Spock. Spock.
So why was that your favorite episode?
To be quite honest, it was, like I said, it was, I think it was like maybe like the starting point to me of this, what seems to be even still like a brand new way of storytelling for a lot of people.
Okay.
For people, well, especially
certainly
who
different at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because again, this wasn't something that I'm into. It's not, I know you guys all love it and I like it. It's not like my thing, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, this was something that was, I don't know, for the time it was sort of new, and to me it was just surprising that people were sort of thinking this way and writing stories this way all the way back then.
Cool.
So the origin of it, I think.
Cool. Well, before the 30 Days of Godzilla, I did watch all the movies again and most of the series sporadically over the last several months. But my favorite movie actually now is Undiscovered Country.
Mm.
And that one
is that the one that Leonard Nimoy directed?
Or no, actually, Nicholas Meyer directed that one. Okay. Same guy that directed Wrath of Khan. But I think what appeals to me about that movie is it's very much, yeah, it still pertains to today, to be honest. It's very much about trying to get over personal prejudice for a better future, basically.
Right.
That's a lot of what the movie's about. Now, it has some odd, silly moments, but most of all, the movie works.
Yeah,
I thought, and I thought it was really important, that whole idea of like some people just can't let go of those, you know, like all they have is their anger, hate, and frustration. They can't let it go, while other people find ways to let it go for the better of everybody. And that's what appealed to me about that movie, seeing it more recently. So yeah, that's my newer favorite. I will say that oddly enough, the whale movie didn't hold up as well for me. I thought it was a little, you know, because I liked it a lot when I was younger, and then I saw it when I was older, and I was like, yeah, well, I guess probably a big reason is humpback whales now are not even remotely extinct. They've actually made this huge recovery. At the time, they were, like, really dangerously going extinct.
Right.
And they've made such a turnaround, I guess they're not even, so now you look at it, and I guess it just doesn't have the same kind of
impact.
Well,
it's the future, so it might happen again.
And oddly enough, Star Trek III now I thought was a better movie in retrospect. Like that movie, The Search for Spock, actually, I thought was stronger having had time.
I love Search for
Spock. Yeah. Having had time to reflect on it, I thought it was a better movie. So.
But the whale movie.
Oh, I don't dislike it. I don't dislike it.
No, I just realized something when you were talking about it. Like a lot of what I feel for it, I realize it's nostalgia because it's in San Francisco.
It is.
Absolutely.
And I used to live nearby.
Oh, there you go.
I went to Japantown all the time. Nice. I went to all those aquariums and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I saw George Takei in a Cherry Blossom Festival parade.
Nice.
A couple times.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like the 60s too.
It's nice, warm, friendly place to visit that movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know my favorite episode, that one's a little harder for me. As a kid, like bar none, all the way until well into adulthood, was actually the arena where he fights the Gorn on the planet. Something about that episode, and I still love that episode, just that whole one-on-one, and the fact that, you know, when it comes right down to it, again, Kirk has to sort of overcome his personal prejudices. But I don't know now. Like, Balance of Terror is amazing. Like, the Doomsday Machine now I find really good, that I didn't remember liking it much as a kid. The Immunity Syndrome now is just amazing. Like, the whole idea that the Vulcans as a culture couldn't couldn't overcome their own sort of pragmatism, and that's why they got killed, and just things like that. I don't know if I have a favorite anymore, but just many of them are so good.
I can relate to that. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
The Cage is amazing, of course.
Yeah. I started showing my husband a few episodes, and he's like, is it dumb? I'm like, you're probably going to think most of it's dumb, so I'll show you a select few.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, you know, the more I watch it, the more I'm just like, you should watch all of it. I need to just staple them down, do the Clockwork Orange thing.
Keep putting drops
in the
sides.
Just watch all of it.
Yeah. Well, some of them, I mean, there's that part of me that's kind of like, oh my God. But because they are old, but I still like them because I guess they're just it's part of me as a kid. But how about you, Joe?
They made an impression. I like Time of Muck. I like a lot of them.
Oh, when Kirk and Spock, when Spock goes into heat.
Yes, exactly. And you get to see him be just crazy.
I call him Boner Spock.
Cool. How about movies?
I'm going to have to go with The Wrath of Khan, too.
Yeah.
That made such an impact when I first saw it, because it was such different than the first movie. The first movie was hard to watch, because there was a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the first movie, but not as much as Wrath of Khan. Ricardo, I think Ricardo Montalban, really.
Wrath of Khan does come out and punch you in the face. I mean, and the interesting anecdote about that, and it's why I watched Into Darkness, was Wrath of Khan, a Star Trek, was always Roddenberry's sort of vision. Part of his vision was always like, you use the old show, especially you use action to sell science fiction. So the show was a science fiction show that they sort of sprinkled with action to get science fiction out there. And the motion picture was just pure science fiction, which kind of turned some people off. Also the fact that it was unfinished probably didn't help. And so it did have issues, pacing issues, things like that. And then Wrath of Khan, I don't know if you know this, but Roddenberry's pretty much off by that point. If you look at the credits, he is, I don't even think he's creative consultant. I think he's just created by, and that's it.
Wow.
In the credits. And that's it, because he had virtually nothing to do with Wrath of Khan, because Paramount said, if there's going to be a future for this, sorry, Gene, you're out. Wow. And I'm paraphrasing, and I probably might have some details wrong, but I know he had virtually nothing to do with it. And, they basically said, well, if we're going to have a life for Star Trek, they basically made an action flick that they pretended to be science fiction. And then they had science fiction elements in it, of course. And it worked, obviously, because the three of you picked it as your favorite. And I do love the movie, too. It's not saying that I don't. But I thought it was interesting. And that's why I kind of went – that's why I gave Into Darkness a chance, because I thought 2009 Star Trek, I'm like, it's an action film. But so is Wrath of Khan, so I got to give it a chance. But anyway – I don't know if you guys knew that, but it's good.
I didn't know that. That's cool to know.
Yeah, it is good. Cool. Anything else on Star Trek? You look like you're very contemplative over there, Luis.
No.
You're like, interesting.
This is still a lot of this is still new to me.
Oh, okay.
Because this was never really an interest of mine until fairly recently.
Oh, okay.
And even then, I think it means a lot more to you
than
it would ever mean to me, even if I did watch it all over again.
Yeah.
So...
Cool.
Anything? I'm like on Three Mile Island right now.
Oh, okay.
And meltdown.
Three Mile Island. You're having a meltdown? That's not cool.
No.
It's all internal. I'm very good at keeping it all on the inside.
Joe, anything else to say about Star Trek? Star Trek memories?
Fondness? Yeah, I got a lot of them, man.
Yeah.
Fondness. The shows were really good.
Yeah.
All of them. Very all of them really good.
If I learned anything, it's revenge is a dish better cold, and it is very cold. In space.
Wow. Little Moby Dick and Star Trek Wrath of Khan. Throw it in there. Cool.
Love that.
All right. Anything else before we go?
Yeah, but is they bad though? Scotty 2016. I'm put that on a shirt.
Are they bad guys?
Is they bad though?
Are they bad guys?
16.
Are the Klingons bad guys? You know, I always want to know that.
Some of them are.
Not in their world.
Yeah. They think they're doing the right thing.
Favorite character? Do you have a favorite character?
What's that?
Your favorite
characters,
character?
Yeah.
Kirk. And don't get that confused for the sort of character that William Shatner is, because sometimes people blur the line. Kirk as a character is actually pretty amazing.
Right.
He's just this, you know, he can be aggressive, but he's this incredibly thoughtful person. He actually cares about his crew a lot, you know, things like that. And I always thought that was really cool, you know.
Sure.
You know. But a lot of people, for some reason, get that mixed with the whole sort of Shatner persona, which is unfair to Kirk as a character. Because, you know, I mean, Kirk's a womanizer. Well, actually, no. There's a lot of rumors about Shatner kind of being a womanizer back then. Whether they're true or not, I don't know. And somehow that got blurred with Kirk. If you watch the show, he's not a womanizer at all. Now, that being said, he will use sex as a tool to get over on the bad guys, and he has done that. But as far as being a womanizer, no, not even close. But I'm a big fan of Kirk. And he's a pragmatist, too. So, how about you?
Bones.
Bone. I do love Bones. Yes.
Yeah. Bones is the best.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. He's a, I would consider him maybe like a mix of Kirk and Spock in kind of a way. Like when he's talking to Kirk, sometimes he has to sort of play the Spock role when Spock's not there. But when he's talking to Spock, he has to play kind of the Kirk role.
The emotional
like
side.
Yeah. Like I don't understand. And, you know, and then in comes Bones to make everything like, Bones. And sometimes when,
My God, man.
But sometimes when Kirk is irrational, here comes Bones. Yeah. It's like, you're stop being an idiot.
That's true. He does drop some common sense every once in a while on Kirk.
And he's a lovable curmudgeon.
I do love DeForest Kelly.
Yeah.
Bones is an awesome character. How about you, Joe? Your favorite character?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Kirk, I like Spock, Bones, definitely.
Yeah.
They're all strong. Erica?
Bones,
yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, Spock and Kirk would be facing off about something. It would be really tense. And then Bones would be like, get over it. You know, like he's always saying the things I've kind of thought in my head. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, there he is.
Well, you know, and that goes to that argument about the triumvirate, how they sort of represent the whole
balance.
Yeah, the whole thing. And that's something I felt the new movies did miss, by the way. There was no Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. It was really just Kirk, Spock. And even then, it was semi-antagonistic.
Oh, I did like Carl Urban as Bones, though. I thought he did.
Yeah. I love Carl Urban, don't get me wrong. But
sure.
I just, I wasn't. Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I also like the bad guys.
Yeah, they had good bad guys.
Khan, he gets on that ship. He wakes up for 5 seconds, and he's already got a plan.
Yeah, and Koloth is such a despicable Klingon. He's like, ugh. Just hate that dude. And then
good,
Kang, Kang is more like a Klingon version of Kirk, where he's not despicable, and he's definitely Klingon, but he's more, I don't know, he's more noble, I guess, in a way. Yeah. And then, of course, do I have him wrong? Koloth. Koloth's the guy in The Trouble with Tribbles. He's good. Oh. He's good, too. But I'm thinking of, God, what is the guy's name? The one from Aaron of Mercy with the Organians?
I have no idea.
That was a good show, too, with the Organians.
That was a good
episode. Oh, that was neat. Yeah, that was cool.
He, that Klingon commander that now escapes me, he was the despicable one. Koloth was a jerk, too, but then Kang was like a Klingon version of Kirk, though. He was cool, which is Michael Ansara, of course, married to Barbara Eden for years and years and years and years. But, yeah, good stuff. Anything else before we get out of here?
No.
No.
Let's go. Exhausted on my Star Trek front.
Sweet.
For now.
Sweet.
For now.
How come in the movies they had the X-Wings, but they didn't have it in the show? It's so stupid.
That's a good question, because I don't remember seeing any X-Wings. All right, guys.
Why did they ever meet Han Solo?
Thanks for joining us.
How come they didn't have droids?
Created by Louise LaTorre and Munch, The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher, and was recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at GigaHub.com and on Facebook under The Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge. The show's theme is Shock Lunatique by the band Turquoise. You can find them at TurquoiseBand.com. TurquoiseBand.com for music, merchandise, tour dates, and much more.